But I greet you in the name of Jesus, the one we serve, the reason that we're here. As we think of living purposefully, living a life of purpose, living purposefully, I'm curious, what do you think of when, what comes to your mind when you think of someone who's living purposefully? A goal. Maybe someone who has things together, huh? They know where they're going and what they're doing. And I find it fascinating that in my years on the field, different orientations we had for new staff and stuff, I don't recall ever having a topic that had a title like this for staff coming to the field. Why not? Why was it not viewed as necessary to have a topic called Living Purposefully? I like Dan's illustration yesterday. You know, we get to the mission field, the horse is saddled, ready to go. All you need to do is jump on and take off. And I think that has a big part in it. We move back, things are different. In Luke 24, we have the account where Jesus had risen from the dead. If you want to turn there, that's fine. I'm just going to briefly go over some things there. But we have two of the disciples traveling on the road that day, discussing what was going on. And it is interesting what they said when they were talking with Jesus, when Jesus showed up, and they did not realize who Jesus was, because it specifically tells us their eyes were constrained. Or they were not, God hid it from them, who Jesus was. But this is what they said in verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said, he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Their world had turned upside down. Things had changed drastically. They had purpose until just a couple days ago. And suddenly they were floundering. They were trying to figure out what is going on. And I think sometimes it's that way for us. When we transition from the mission field, to life in our homeland again. It's a transitional period. And we sometimes flounder around. We're trying to figure out what's up and what's down. And I'm curious, how many of you read any of the books written by Naomi Reid? Like my Seventh Monsoon, No Ordinary View, Going Home, Plum Tree in the Desert. I would highly recommend those books. She and her husband and family served in Nepal for some years. And then the fourth one, A Plum Tree in the Desert, is stories about other missionaries that she would have interviewed and got glimpses of their stories. But it was very helpful to read some of their experiences, and I found it quite a blessing. She was from Australia. She and her husband were from Australia. But she relates how at a meeting after they moved back to Australia, one morning they were in a meeting with a group of returned missionaries. And someone read from Psalm 139. And I'm just going to read a few verses from there. Psalm 139, the first 10 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Reading from the New King James. And she said, she made this comment that all of a sudden it hit her. We often think of taking the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. We're across the sea somewhere. That suddenly now across the sea was Australia. You know, it used to be across the sea was, you know, for us it was Kenya. For some of you it was Ukraine, Argentina, you know, or wherever you served, or it may have been another part of the United States. But all of a sudden now maybe across the sea is actually here. Our home community. Home? Yeah, maybe. Home community. The community where we had started from. So was it hard to find purpose, living, was it hard to live purposefully on the mission field? I'm just curious. How did you find it? Or in your place of service, was it hard to find purpose? I would say, I think for most of us, probably not. There was purpose. We could find purpose quite easily. Then we transitioned to our homeland again. And as Dan said, we land with a splat. I like that, Dan. And all of a sudden, it's just like, purpose is gone. Why? Why do we struggle so much with that? And I don't know if what all the reasons are, but it is definitely something that we face when we transition from, I would say, typically probably intense work like that. Maybe you didn't find mission life intense, but I think for most, or even voluntary service in a voluntary service unit, there's it's intense. There's a lot going on. How many of you would have, after being on the mission field and you think about moving to return to your homeland, would have said you do not want to get caught up in the rat race of America? You know, yes. Did we have our own rat race? We moved back in December 2019. 3 months later, things shut down. And, you know, actually, it wasn't too bad. Now, everybody was in the boat with us. Their lives were also turned upside down. And so we weren't the only ones floundering around anymore. Everybody around us was too. So in that way, God was looking out for us. I mean, he shut down the whole world just for us, huh? But in looking back, you know, that was kind of interesting because everybody else was now trying to find their way too. It wasn't just us. No, God didn't shut down the whole world just for us. But it was an interesting thing in that I think in some ways maybe made it a little bit easier for us. Because everybody else was also trying to, if you want to say, spin their wheels. They were spinning their wheels, trying to figure out, how does this work? What do we do? Where do we go? And so, of course, most of my experiences that I'll share, they come from living in Kenya, in the foreign field. I am not speaking from experiences that you may have had. You may be able to identify, or you may not. But I will share a few things that we experienced. But looking at trying to figure out how to live purposefully, and we have this picture of someone who knows where they're going, they know what they're doing, and suddenly we have lost. Somehow we've lost. We don't feel like we can figure it out. Here's one definition of living purposefully. It's a purposeful life is one that is lived with a clear sense of meaning and direction whose foundation is the Bible. Well, that sounds so simple. And of course, returned missionaries, we should have it all together. I mean, look, a purposeful life that is lived with a clear sense of meaning and direction whose foundation is the Bible. I mean, that was our foundation. The Bible was our foundation when we left. But it seems it's not that simple. Now, this may or may not apply to. But this is a little bit what it seems like to me. While in our place of service, on the mission field, etc., wherever it was, it used to be there that our ideas, at least to a degree, carried weight. They were acted upon. Advice we gave was, you know, followed. We were wanted and needed, etc. Now, suddenly, our views are seen differently. Maybe even viewed with suspicion. We had found purpose in helping others. And for us, it was in Kenya. It was Kenya's middle-income country now. But there's a lot of poverty, a lot of you know, surviving day by day. We had found purpose in helping others and just giving, you know, in that way. And all of a sudden now, nobody wants any help. They don't need our advice. And that's all of a sudden a new thing for us. I'm not sure. Is it correct to say we're having an identity crisis maybe? I don't know. Now, we're the ones needing help. And finding purpose seems elusive. We have spent time in another culture or another community where things were done differently, seen differently, people thought differently. And it's opened our eyes to things that we never saw before in our own culture or in our home community. And so we want others to be enlightened now. You know, we saw a light, now we want others to be enlightened. And they're like, no thanks. No, no. They are not interested in our wisdom. We see things about the culture of our homeland or our home community maybe that maybe could change for better. And maybe even should change. But nobody wants to know about it. It's like, shut up. You know, we don't want to hear about it. Like I said, this may not be your experience. But it is one of those things where, as we transition, we go through this time, we, from being needed and wanted and having this purpose, and all of a sudden it's just like that, so just poof, it's gone. Now I want to say this. Let's not kick ourselves. Transitions take time. Waynes, I think you moved on an outreach, church outreach. How long did it take for Withwell to feel like home? Six months?
Probably a week. But I was thinking of London, and flexible enough that
Yeah. Anybody else hear a move for different communities, and you know. It takes time for, even in the States, in the United States or in Canada, it takes time when you move to another community for that to feel like home. So when we transition to our homeland, let's not kick ourselves when we don't feel at home right away. Don't do that. Transition takes time, and don't feel bad for that. Someone wrote Naomi Reed a comment during their transition time, and they said it this way. In that in-between time, you know, in your transition time, from home there to home here, that time until this feels like home, they said, viewed as a gift. A gift. How do you view it as a gift? And I'm not exactly sure how all to view it as a gift, but they did say one thing is that ability now to see familiar things with new eyes. Is that a gift, or is it going to be a thorn in the flesh, a burr under the saddle for us? How are we going to take it? We can take it either way. We can allow it to grind us and just irk us, or we can take it as a gift that we see things now from a different angle than we used to. And that will happen during that transition period. We would like to, let's say we're on top of the mountain here, and we want to get to the next mountain to the north there, Stone Mountain. We would like to jump straight across the Big Valley, just to bounce across and land on the other peak there. We don't want to go through the valley. That's not how life is. That transition period and that journey to living purposefully is going to take us through that valley. We can't avoid it. Let's embrace it. That time of transition when one day is starting to feel like home and the next day we wish so badly we'd be back in wherever we had been. I remember things shut down for COVID in March of 2020. And then people would say things like, you know, aren't you so glad to be at home? I was like, well, truthfully, no. I wish I'd be there. They meant it well. And I had to learn not to allow that stuff to irritate me. But, you know, how many of you have heard the term, are you adjusted yet? It's like 2 months after you're here. Or even, yeah. And it's like, you know, about adjusted? No, no. It doesn't happen that fast. Transition takes time. And while God never gave us any children, but we face transitions in life all the time. Singles get, when they get married, there's a transition. There's a time of adjustment when you get married. Children start coming. There's an adjustment. It used to be just the two, and now all of a sudden there's a third one in the party, and it takes time to adjust. So don't feel bad when you're down the road a year and you don't feel like you have completely adjusted yet. Don't feel bad. We did not feel like Kenya was home in a year's time. It didn't feel like home. But with time, it did. 6 years after we moved to Kenya, 6.5 years, we were at home on furlough, and I suddenly realized I was now a stranger at Big Valley. It hit me that time, 6 years later, that where we were there visiting. You walk into church, and it's not, quote, my church anymore. I'm a visitor. So those transitions take time. You know, even going that way takes time. But like Dan said, the horse is saddled, waiting to be ridden. When we get there, we jump on, take off, and so we can find purpose, and it helps us. We return, like he said, you may have to grow your own horse. And so let's not kick ourselves for struggling in the transition time. It is a part of living to face difficulties in transition. That's how we are. That's how humans are. We don't just transition just bang like that and it's just as easy as pie. Life doesn't happen that way. One person who had been a missionary doctor in Tanzania said this after he had left. The problem is, I had dreamed of becoming a missionary doctor since I was a kid. That was all I ever wanted to be. Now it's finished. And for the first time in my life, I don't have a dream. And I don't know, maybe you find yourself there. Is that where we find ourselves in this transition when we land with that splat and all of a sudden we don't have a dream left? We had invested our time and effort and life in the VS unit or in the foreign field or whatever. And it feels like the dream is now gone. There's nothing ahead except something called living. You know, day by day. You know, go to work in the morning and collect your paycheck and pay the bills and Naomi Reed said this, that they were, as family, were discussing one time about what they missed about Nepal, and she had made a list. Things that I miss about it, things that I don't miss, things I like about Australia, and things that I don't like about Australia. Four categories. And that's helpful. I mean, maybe sit down and make a list like that. And some things that, you know, that... Well, it is nice here, after all. There are some things that I like about it. And there are some things that I didn't like about Kenya either. And then she said this. Our years in Nepal have been marked by purposefulness, and we shared that with the wider mission community. And from my experience, that's we lived in a community, a mission community. And we were there with Joe Allens and Waynes and Elaine was there part of the time. And we lived in a compound setting. There were numerous families there. And so we had that mission community. We were together. We had a common goal. We were working towards something. We were able to work together in that way. But she said this, for some reason, waking up in Australia didn't carry the same urgency as it did in Nepal. It merely felt like I was here because I happened to be here. I was nowhere else, so I must be here. Now, I'm glad that that's not why you're here this morning. You just happened to be here. I mean, you made a choice to come here to the seminar this weekend. So I would say you at least have some purpose in life. You made that decision. You're going to the seminar, and so I would say you're finding purpose. You're working. If you have been struggling with that, as we go through the transition process and we're trying to find purpose in life, we like to relive our memories, and we like to discuss it with other people. Discuss what we experience, discuss it with other people. And for the first little while, they politely listen and ask a few questions and things like that, you know. And then life moves on, and then you start sensing that they would rather not hear any more about it. And in thinking about that, I was like, you know, the thing is, there is a point there. I'm not living there anymore. I'm here. I'm right here. It is upon me to invest myself in my community now, to become part of them, in the same way that I became a part of the mission community when I left, when I moved to Kenya. we invested time and effort into becoming part of the mission community there. It didn't just fall out of the sky and happen. We invested a lot of time and effort into becoming part of that community. And now I moved back to my homeland, and am I just going to keep talking about all that was there? I'm not there anymore. I'm now here. Am I going to invest my life with purpose in my home community? And living life purposefully, if I'm going to live and invest my life in my own community, where I am now, wherever I happen to be, it takes effort and time, and it doesn't just fall out of the sky. We would like to just push a button and we fit in, and life goes on. It doesn't work that way. You come, you move back, you go to church. It's like, okay, so what's to do? Maybe you come back and you just want to hide in the corner. Maybe you don't want anything to do for a while. What's fascinating is that we may be at that point where we don't really want anything to do to start with. When we get back, we'd rather sit in the corner. But then a little bit down the road, we start feeling sorry for ourselves that nobody sees us. You know, we, like Joe Allen said, poor me. I'm sitting back here in the corner, nobody sees me, nobody pays any attention to me, stuff. Why are we like that? And hopefully we aren't, but it is a human tendency, I think. Another quote from Naomi Reed. Lord, there are times in our lives when we feel purposeless. The dream is over. We don't even know what to do anymore or why. We keep coming up with new ideas, but they don't really compare with the dream we used to have or the life we used to live. When we talk about, we enjoyed our time in Kenya. We did. And then some people had the nerve to ask, why aren't you still there? And so what do you say? There are various reasons. The reasons are all over the map. For some, it was health reasons. For some, it was had family. There was family responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Others, it was clear that God was saying, you know, it's time to do something else. Maybe there were challenges, struggles that we faced. Maybe we were asked to come home. And so we land here and we try to find something with purpose. And somehow, going out the door every morning to work, coming home in the evening, for the men I'm talking for us, maybe for the ladies too, it can feel purposeless. It's like, what's the purpose? I'm existing for what? But can we grasp that vision that God is the reason we get out of bed in the morning? It's not about me, but it's about God, our Heavenly Father. God is the reason that we make breakfast and stir the porridge and we grab our lunchbox and go to work day after day after day. And so as we look at navigating that transition time and coming out of the transition, I don't know if the transition time ever completely finishes, but it's more acute at the beginning. We face this crisis at the beginning and things are so different. And so as we are looking for ways of living purposefully, there are ways we can invest in people. Now, at our congregation, they didn't waste any time putting us back to work. That may not be the case for you, but for us, we definitely had. They welcomed us back, and they wanted us involved in different things. There's prison ministry. There's halfway house. There's children's club. Evangelization, and things like that. There's all kinds of stuff to do. if I want to. One of the things that I think sometimes happens is in the transition period, at least for us a little bit, we're different now than we used to be. When we went to Kenya, it was expected that we would be different. The local people did not expect us to be like them. But we moved back to our homeland, home community, and after being there 2 months, 3 months, whatever, then now people expect you to be like them. And that was a little hard. They expect you know this, you know that. And I'm like, sorry. After 11 years, 12 years, I'm sorry, I don't remember. There's things that the way the church would do stuff, and I was like, I'm really not sure how you do it anymore. I had become so accustomed to the way things were done in Kenya that was my focus for 11 years. And moving back and trying to reintegrate there and move along. They would give us responsibilities and stuff, and it's like, okay, so how is it done here? I'm not sure anymore how it is done. That has a tendency of, well, we don't like to be different. So that has a tendency of wearing us, I think, a little bit. And so as we look at things in life from that perspective, trying to find purpose, what am I doing? Like I said, living purposefully is not going to happen, it's not going to fall out of the sky. And I would like to look at Hebrews 11 a little bit, at Abraham and Sarah, what it says about them in Hebrews 11. When we were in Kenya, we were foreigners, we were aliens. I carried an ID card, alien certificate. And it was very obvious that I was not a Kenyan. There was no question. We were different. Looking at Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And I would say Abraham and Sarah are an example of purposeful living. They were given promises. We are given promises. God says he will be with us. He will guide us. Their vision, their purpose in life, they were looking ahead to those promises that were not realized in their lifetime. But they lived with purpose. They were there to obey God and follow God's ways. Abraham is a beautiful example of prompt obedience. When God ask him to do Abraham to do something. Abraham didn't just waffle around and say, well, let me think about it, maybe next week or something like that. No. He stepped up to the plate. When God asked him to do something, Abraham did it. And so where is our homeland? Abraham left his childhood home, moved to the land that God said that he would show him. And when we read about his life, when the famine came in the land of Canaan, what did Abraham do? He could have gone back. He moved the other direction. He went to Egypt. He went the opposite way. When he sent his servant to look for a wife for Isaac, he explicitly said, never take my son back to my homeland. Do not take Isaac back there. Whatever you do, do not take my son back there. But he was seeking that homeland. And when in seeking that homeland, it gave him purpose. He was desiring a better, that is, a heavenly country. And then it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, is God ashamed to be called our God? I hope not. Another example of purposeful living is in the book of Job. It stood out to me there that as I was thinking about Job a little bit. In Job chapter 1, I'll just read verses 4 and 5. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. It was a part of his life. He had purpose. He looked at his family and he said, there is something that we need to do. And so maybe we are single. Maybe we don't have children. But can we find that purpose? Can we have that focus on that homeland that God has promised so that we do not get bogged down by the transition period? Like I said, let's not feel bad because the transition period is tough. Let's embrace it. It's part of the process. We can't get around it. It's impossible. We may as well embrace it and work our way through. Some people say it is a little bit like working through grief. You cannot. It takes time. And the transition period is the same way. It takes time to work through there, and we can come out the other side with purpose. But it is sometimes hard not to lose our way in the transition. And I think as we invest in our own communities, we put effort into it and embrace, you know what? I'm now part of this community. I'm not part of Christian Believers Fellowship in Kenya anymore. That was back there. I am now at Pleasant View Congregation in Belleville, Pennsylvania. Am I going to put my heart into it there, or am I going to pine for what used to be and keep looking back, or am I going to be like Abraham and Sarah and looking forward, investing my time in my community where I am now? The choice is ours. Are we going to step up and find our place? There are going to be knocks and bumps on the way. People say things. You know, I would get sometimes almost irked when people would say, you know, are you about adjusted now? Or, you know, maybe Does it feel like home? And what do you say? I mean, it's now 6 months down the road, or maybe even a year, and they're asking you, does it feel, you know, feel at home now? And the truth is, not really. Not yet. But I don't want to offend them. They're like, well, why not? What are we doing wrong? Well, you're not doing anything wrong. It just, the transition takes time. And so that takes time, but to live purposefully, we have to go through that process. There's no way around it. Let's embrace it. Look for ways where we can embrace our sending congregation, the ones who support us while we were gone, whatever. We can embrace them again and become a part of them. We have changed. That is true. Why do we so badly want them to become like us? Why do I resist becoming a part of them? I didn't really resist becoming a part of Christian Believers Fellowship in Kenya when I moved there. I embraced it. It was part of my calling. What is my calling now? I think it's to embrace my congregation, where I'm at, fit in. And when we do that, that gives us purpose. We will find purpose when we do that, when we embrace that and step up to the plate and join in, and you know, we shake our heads at some of the things that they do and the way they view things. You know, we think, you're terrible, short-sighted. I mean, look, the world is bigger than you. And we know that because we were out there. and they're just like, shut up. You're here now. Be a part of us. They have a point. We are now here. Am I going to embrace that? I think if we do, we will find purpose. We can live purposefully. God bless you.